And we welcome you in our Warriors Weekly Podcast, episode number 3 for the 2019-20 season. John Dickinson, as always, joined by the great Gary St. Jean here for 95.7 The Game. And St., a lot to chew on and unpack here going back from the last time we spoke a week ago. The Warriors were coming off a win that day, but then everything changed again, and it's so crazy when you think of a team coming into a season, and the belief was, well, if Stephen Curry and Draymond Green and D'Angelo Russell were healthy, along with Kevon Looney and some others, maybe this team could make a run toward the playoffs. They didn't get off to the best start. It looked like maybe they were starting to turn it a little bit with the win against the Pelicans that we talked about last week. But then, boy, the wheels came off as far as the injury bug with Stephen Curry breaking his hand, Draymond Green dealing with a finger issue, and now even D'Angelo Russell's had to miss a few games with an ankle. So you take all of those guys out and Steve Kerr on the fly, and this Warriors organization has been forced to focus on development and a little bit of the future in a blink. Just how much is that, as a head coach and a former GM, how difficult a pill is that to swallow, one, and then how difficult is it to completely flip the goals of an entire season like that when it's just getting started?
Well, John, you know, that's really the NBA, and there's luck involved to be injury-free, you know. I'm still convinced we would have won the championship last year if Clay and Kevin Durant had played. Now, with that said, you go into this year, and, you know, you're feeling like Steve's saying, boy, he's been fabulous in camp, mentally, physically. He's ready for, like, an MVP-type year. And, you know, Draymond's Draymond. He just brings that D and that energy and all those qualities that help you win. And you've got a bad break there with that hand, and he's going to be out months. And, you know, we'll see what goes on there. It's extensive therapy. You got to let it set and all that kind of thing. So, you know, the good news, it's his non-shooting hand. And, you know, he'll have about 3-4 months. And with Draymond, it's a ligament issue. Now, you know, they still don't know. Is it going to require surgery? Is it just sitting out for a while in a splint and let it stabilize a little? We'll see what happens there. And then you touched on Russell with the ankle. I'm assuming out of everybody, he would be back probably soon compared to everybody else. And then we can mention Kevon Looney, who's got this neuropathy issue. He's got a hamstring thing. You know, I've got some of that from my back surgery, and it's tough. You got tingling in your lower extremities, some numbness sometimes, and at his age, I mean, that's a tough one. I mean, you know, I think he was really ready to have a really big time positive year. So, as you noted, John, you got to flip the page and take a different philosophy. Everybody, I mean, ownership, management, coaches, players, and the fans. And as you noted, if Steph and Draymond were playing, you're saying, well, you know, with these young guys, maybe we can get in the bottom of the playoffs and see what we do. And now you switch to now look at player development. We're coming off this great win last night, a good performance the game before against Charlotte. And you've got some really great happenings here. There's just a lot of excitement with these young guys.
Say, do you think it's easier to you know, turn the page, so to speak, when the Band-Aid is almost completely ripped off? I mean, and what I'm saying is when, all right, now Curry's out 3 months, and now Draymond's hurt, and Russell's hurt, and these guys are all hurt at the same time. So as an organization, you can take a step back, take a deep breath, and not necessarily feel like you're trying to hang on to something that really be there anyway. Does that help the process in terms of, you know, sure, you're trying to compete and win games, but help the process of feeling better about the situation you're in, even though it's not the situation you wanted to be in?
No, I totally agree with you. And you know, if we fast forward, and, you know, St- Steph doesn't come back, Draymond's out and Looney's out for an extended period of time. So now you're in the lottery. And, you know, we haven't been in the lottery since 2012. And, you know, if you get a high pick, there's some terrific players up there led by that young big guy at Memphis State. And, you know, so from that standpoint, you bring your Clay, who we haven't talked about. You bring your big three back. You add a lottery pick. You've got a full mid-level because you're below the hard cap. You've got a $17 million trade exception from the Andre Iguodala situation. You can aggregate that and add that to maybe an existing player if you want to make another deal, and maybe go out and get another real quality piece. So add that now to these developing guys that can be nice role players in your rotation, you know, 6 through 10. And, you know, you can see some positives for the future.
It's John Dickinson and Gary St. Jean, Warriors Weekly Podcast for 95.7 The Game. This scenario that the Warriors find themselves in is opening the door for some young players to really showcase their skills. And first and foremost, it's Eric Paschal, who we talked about last week and we talked about the week before, just kind of what type of player is he. But by the game, he seemingly shows us more in the repertoire than I even thought was imaginable, Saint. I mean, last night going for a career high, as we record this on a Tuesday in the game against Portland. He went for a career high against Charlotte. Three different times he set a career high just since we last did this show. I mean, how impressive is the offensive game and the skill set? I mean, he's been able to kind of, you know, ISO and bulldoze guys a little bit.
Well, 23rd birthday last night. And you know what? He's embraced the NBA so much that he forgot it was his birthday. We had him on our postgame show. And, you know, the thing that sticks out, you know, I drive in with Mully. And we talk about these guys. He and I got a chance to talk to him the other night. He talked about his three-point shot. And he's a jump-shooting three-point shooter. You know, whereas we see Steph doesn't jump very much, Clay doesn't jump very much. And, you know, when you got that good lift like he has, sometimes your shot gets flattened out. So the other night he didn't make many. Well, my gosh, last night, you know, he was terrific knocking down the three. So, you know, so much about talking about, you know, creating more of an arc and a push shot kind of thing versus a jumper. And his shot discretion is really solid. And what's really, John, what's impressed me is a four-year college guy, very mature, very humble, very bright, very well-spoken. My gosh, it's just uplifting to watch a guy like this. And, you know, we mentioned, well, he hasn't been rebounding that much. He had 2 against Charlotte. Well, last night he gets 13. I think that's a big key. He's got the position rebound, meaning he's not going to go pursue it on the other side of the rim. He's got to take up space. He learned an example in that those 2 free throw situations against Charlotte, how he's got to be more physical with his body, hit the opponent, and then go get the ball. And I thought he was stellar in that category. John, Mully talked about this, that he's a very, very smart defender. And you can switch pick and rolls with him. Last game, he was fighting over the top of screens as a 4-man and playing a little bit of 5. And, you know, I just looking at him and you just get excited about his future. It's just tremendous. And kudos to the scouting staff and all of Bob Myers' people. You know, sometimes guys drop to you. You know, they've been talking about we haven't had a second-round pick beside Draymond that's played like this since Gilbert Arenas. And, you know, we were all set to take Tony Parker. And he was the last guy taken in the first round by San Antonio. And, you know, we got Gilbert. And, you know, the rest is history there. So this is just tremendous for the team.
ultimately, and I want to fast forward a little bit because we can have some fun with things like that. Ultimately, as you start to, and look, you're going to have an eye toward 2020 and 2021. I mean, as much as it's early and you don't want to do it because there's still, 75 games to go. And I know you always talk about, you get on the whiteboard or you get on a piece of paper and you start, you start kind of writing out your slots of who you got and what positions maybe are left open that you don't have any names to put at. As you start to fast forward where you think you'll have Curry and you think you'll have Clay and you think you'll have Draymond, and then you start to pencil in guys that could be a part of it beyond that, where do you see his fit? Is he a backup four? Is he a small ball five? When you've got Draymond playing as well, do you see those two playing together? And would it have to be a 4-5? I mean, what types of combinations allow Eric Paschal to succeed, not just now, but more moving forward once the rest of this team is back?
But John, I think you're hitting it right on the head, and he's got a great mentor, a tutor, and Draymond to show him the ropes, how to guard these bigger fives and do your work early and body him off the box and hard three-quarter the post and don't allow any paint catches. These are things he can learn, and he is strong. So that gives him the opportunity to play there. But I can see him being a four, an undersized four, but he's got great length. He's smart. He can make a shot. And can he and Draymond play together? I'll take it a step further. I think you could, at some games, you can even play Draymond at three. I love the flexibility. You never have too many quality players. And I think Draymond's really excited about him. You probably saw John. He came flying out of the locker room toward the end of the game. He was excited. And Steph was home. And, I think he texted as well, so fired up about their entire performance. So that's great for the team. It just really is. And they got rewarded with a win against what I think is a quality team, a team that could be, 4-5 in the West. And they didn't play well. I don't know if they took it light. The only guy that I liked last night for them was Lillard. Whiteside, you never know what he's going to do. He was solid, but, McCallum didn't have a big game. And the knock on Portland has always been their forward play. Now, they're going to get Nurkic back, and that's a big, big get. How long will Collins be out? And, it's an interesting team. I really like Terry Stotts. And, they let one go last night. But, John, expounding more on our team, Bowman is just, wow. Of course, I'm from Massachusetts, and my college roommate was the AD at Boston College for 18 years, Gene DeFilippo. And so I always follow them. And, this guy here, aren't you excited about him, too?
Yeah, he's the next guy I was going to ask about, Saint, because he looks very comfortable bringing the ball up the court. He looks very confident in his shot. He's somebody that, he can give it up and get it back and knock down a shot for you. What do you think? I mean, is he a guy that projects in your mind as, maybe a backup point guard? Is he maybe more of a third, point guard ideally? I mean, what you like the toughness too? I mean, he kind of gave Whiteside a little shot and then Whiteside gave him one back and he went right back at him, and that lit the whole building up. It lit the bench up. I think that was the moment in my mind where the Warriors said to the Blazers, hey, we're not losing tonight. Now, they still had to back it up by going and making plays down the stretch, but I think that was almost a, hey, you're not going to punk us. We're going to fight right to the very end and maybe take this game from you.
Well, first, that was vintage Whiteside. That's the theatrics that he pulled. But I'm going to share with you, this young guy, he's on one of these two-way contracts, so you get into these 45. Once they start the G League, then they count days or games and all this kind of thing. And so you say, okay, is he one of those guys, he's going to go back and forth? I'll tell you what, if he goes down there, and you, for some reason, he stays there for a while. He's opened the eyes of everybody in the NBA, and there's a couple things. Again, John, a four-year guy. You love his competitiveness. You love that he picks up the ball 94 feet. He wouldn't take any baloney from Whiteside, and you know he tried to really pressure Lillard, which was a good move. He can play a lot of minutes, and I think he's on the ball. He does a very, very good job. And then you turn it around to the offensive end. He has a point guard, and this is what you have to do. It's the same thing in the NFL as a quarterback or in college. You've got to have the respect of your teammates. He's got it. They have confidence in him. And what I love is he can play with pace. I love we're pushing the ball up the floor. We're not just hippity-hopping it up there. And he finds an open guy. He gets to the paint. He finishes there well. But if the lane closes down, he's drawing kicks, the shooters on the wings. You love that about him. He's got the moxie. He'll go one-on-one. And I loved a couple of times. I'll give you an example. We in the high pick-and-roll situation, we have a lot of teams switching that. And when he got the big on him, I love that he took him off the bounce. That's what you tell their smalls to do. When big has small on the perimeter, small has an advantage to drive by him and finish or make the secondary line of defense compress. So, you know, you just look at him, and I was chatting, Molly and I were chatting with him down in Eric Cousins' office, and you love it. And in his post game, he couldn't stop smiling. And you get excited about that kind of stuff. So these have been two really bright lights. And John, he's playing so well that he could cause some roster moves with some of the guys that are on one year.
I think he's going to, Saint.
I can see that, John. I really can feel it. So with that said, you're saying, holy cow, that's a good problem.
No, it really is. And I'm looking at Stephen Curry being out until at least February, but it's going to be longer than that. I mean, that's going to be when they, you know, provide an update. So we're talking All-Star break or longer at this point. So that's 3 months away. So this 45 days, and I know it, you know, not every day fully counts as a day, and there's things you can do to buy time. If you're not playing games, you can send him down and not have him practice with the big team, and there's ways to maximize it as long as you possibly can. But I'm looking at 45 days already, and I'm thinking if Curry's missing 3 months, and you don't have any other point guards on the roster beyond D'Angelo Russell, the math on that's a little fuzzy. I think they're going to have to find a way to keep him around, Saint.
Hey, I was singing the Boston College fight song. I was so excited. I'll tell you what, that's why you coach. And when you love basketball and you see guys getting an opportunity and capitalizing on it, it just excites you. It really does. And these unexpected happenings or the positive things, that's got the fans fired up. I mean, our post game, you know, we've got a great location out in the front of the building. My gosh, the noise level was like some of the years in the finals. It was unbelievable. I had to tell Pop one time, Pop, I only got a couple words that you said. I can't even hear you. And so everybody's, if you're a Warrior fan and you see that kind of thing, that just gets you really, really going. And, you know, and that experience to come to that arena. And last night it was hopping. That was great. That, to me, that was the loudest it's been. And it's really cool.
Well, and the thing, you know, Warriors fans, and you know this as well as anybody, but I mean, Warriors fans, I think maybe the last few years have gotten a little bit of a bad rap for, well, you know, it hasn't been the same as it was before, and what's it going to be if the team, you know, starts to struggle again, and now you know, it's a new building, and will there be something lost? I mean, there's a lot of conversation about all those things, and I think it's almost a little disrespectful of Warriors fans that they can't handle watching a team like this. Warriors fans are veterans at watching a team that's in this position that's trying to figure things out. They know how to.
Sure. John, we've been in a utopian environment for 5 years. This is reality in the league. This is what happens. The window opens. Can you capitalize on it? They did. And you know, with injuries, maybe we would have won all five, but you win three. But this is what happens. And now you got to reload. And this is what goes on. And, hey, John, it's not that long ago that I had nothing but praise for the fans, that they hung with the team over there in Oakland. They just they kept showing up. Everybody around the NBA talked about it. And, you know, they were there. And so, you know, and this reminds me of the old days. And, you know, maybe you're going to have a tough time on this road trip. It's not easy. You know, Houston's struggling. That's not working right now. My pal Dick Bright played the national anthem last night, the great violinist.
Oh, it's terrific. That's one of my favorites, Saint. That's absolutely my favorite anthems.
He's an old pal, and I talked to him before the game, and I made the comparison that he makes sweet music. And right now, the musicians are all out of sync down there in Houston. Westbrook's blowing it up. He's shooting 25% from three. Harden's shooting 25%. Capella's not playing good. Gordon doesn't feel good. Tucker's not, you know, so maybe we can go down there and steal one. You know, and then we got, you know, OKC and Minnesota. So Minnesota's been one of the surprise teams in the West along with Houston. So, you know, the road's tougher, John. When you come home and you're banged up, you got to get wins at home because the road is much tougher when you're a young, inexperienced team. But getting on that plane today at 11 o'clock was a heck of a lot easier than getting on the plane if you go back about three or four games when we were getting smacked and down by 30 in the first half.
Yeah, no doubt. And Eric Gordon may not play in the game against Houston, and Minnesota's been playing pretty well, and the Warriors already went to Oklahoma City and saw that the Thunder, if they're playing well and the Warriors aren't, they can get thumped there. The final question for you, Saint, I want to go back to Kai Bowman a little bit as it relates to D'Angelo Russell, because this team has found an energy and a pace with D'Angelo Russell sitting the last couple of games. What do you do? I think it's silly to say, well, Russell comes back, you bring him off the bench. I mean, he's making a max deal, and he's 23, 24 years old, so you don't really want to do that necessarily, although I'll let you weigh in on it. But to me, my thought was play Bowman and Russell together and give Jordan Poole a little bit of a break. Is that crazy? And how much does the energy – how much is the energy have you noticed that it's been different without Russell just because he plays such a plodding game? He's a talented player, but the Warriors found a way to play faster the last couple of games with more zip, and now they're going to almost have to readjust again when Russell comes back. How do you handle that in your mind if you're coaching this team?
Yeah, as a coach, that's a good problem. You know, you'll go game to game with matchups. Maybe you can start both of them. And, you know, Poole's young. And you know, sometimes he shoots the ball and he reminds me of Swaggy P. And then I see some other really good stuff and some passing. And, you know, one of the guys in the locker room said that Draymond really likes him because he's a real hard worker. Well, if that's the case, then he just needs experience. It'll come. And when you're a rookie, a lot of guys are inconsistent. He shot it well a couple games and then not so well. Effort on defense is okay. I think he's got a long way to go there. So, you know, that would make sense, John, if you want to start them both. And, hey, that's fine. And you know, if you want to I don't know that they'll bring Russell off the bench, but you know that you've got Bowman to come in there to give you the lift. And in that same sense, you know, Lee and Burks have done a good job for you. Lee rebounding and getting to the free throw line, that kind of stuff. Burks had one good game. I'd like to see him shoot a little bit better. But, you know, that's a good problem. That's okay. And, you know, Willie Cauley-Stein, he didn't even have a training camp. So for him, like Burks, they got a lot of rust in the engine. And, you know, we'll see if they get going. And so it was a great way to go on the road to get that win. And you know, Steve, to me, is just terrific at that personnel and rotations. He and Mike Brown and the rest of the staff, they pencil things in, and they do a great job with it. And as I said, these are good problems.
Well, Saint, great stuff as always. Good to chat with you again, and we'll do it again here next week.
Well, John, hey, you know, it's like as the world, we don't know what the heck's going to go on here. So it's going to be fun. I'm excited to watch these games coming up. And, you know, as we look around the league, and a lot of interesting stuff going on. I know we'll chat more about the rest of the teams, but you know, this is good for the Warriors. And last night, leaving the building, we closed the post game show, and you just feel the people, the fans, really felt good. It was great to see. So, you know, that's what we're looking for.
We'll talk to you next week, Saint. Thanks a lot. That's going to do it for our Warriors Weekly Podcast, episode number 3 for 95.7 The Game.